Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
If you take a look at the newspapers this morning, you'd be forgiven for dusting off the passport and seeking out the sun cream. Vacation once again, says the Sun. Ministers pushed for foreign holidays by the end of the summer, says the Irish Independent. Return to summer holidays likely by August, leads the Examiner. Well, to take a look at all this, I'm joined on the line by Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Examiner. And Daniel, I just read out the headline on the front of your own paper today. You and your colleagues seem to be ironing the Bermuda shirts there in preparation for this.
Yeah, certainly for maybe the older categories, Claire, and those who will have their full vaccinations, it may be a bit longer for ourselves who are kind of down the queue a bit. But certainly there's an anticipation and a building expectation within government that in step with the European Union's plan to roll out this digital cert or green cert by the end of June, early July, that Ireland will be in the first wave of that. Now, obviously, Simon Coveney was out yesterday saying that it's up to each national government to especially decide when they sign up to it. But I suppose given how reliant we are on our aviation sector, we're an island nation, that Ireland should be, or there's a hope and expectation that we would be in that first wave. And if vaccinations have taken place to a sufficient degree, and if you're fully vaccinated, medical experts, politicians, leaders, etc., and clearly the business community are saying, listen, it would make an awful lot of sense to allow that sort of travelling to commence as early as possible.
I suppose people are looking at this and wondering, what am I to think now? Because we have just ramped up mandatory hotel quarantine. We were told not to book anything. The advice still is no essential travel. And yet we have the prospect of this carrot towards the end of the summer. So why has this ramping up of information and the level of hope that's emerged over the last 24 hours in particular, why is it happening? Are there moves afoot that have gathered pace at a European level?
Yeah, well, certainly I think there's a push on within the European Union and the Commission, because I think they're obviously themselves coming in under huge pressure from the aviation sector to open it up and to allow travel commence once again. And also I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that if vaccinations are up to a particular level, that there really is no, there's no basis upon which, other than maybe taking a very ultra cautious approach to the spread of the virus, that, we need to live with the virus. We can't just live in fear of it. So therefore, I think we need to come up with a viable strategy to allow international travel happen again. And also as well, you look at a lot of European countries like, say, France, Belgium, Germany, there's a lot of cross-border traffic between all of those countries. And obviously it would require, if businesses to get back up and running, you would need some sort of cert that would allow that free movement of travel, which would not, I suppose, necessarily lead to another spike or a major spike in the numbers.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about was the Taoiseach last night mentioning the resumption of religious services. Now, that's interesting because I'm sure hospitality would be looking on there and saying, well, look, now if that's happening, why can't we reopen at least for outdoor dining at the same time?
Yeah, I think in May, from May 4th, he gave a very strong signal to Taoiseach in a letter to the religious leaders that numbers at mass will be allowed increase from May 4th, and then there's obviously kind of there might be a kind of even a phasing up of those numbers later on. But the Taoiseach did yesterday give a very strong signal to the hotel and the B&B sector that they were going to consider that in the context of their June announcement, which would obviously be earlier than some people would have thought previously, and that obviously led on to the predictable question about this intercounter travel ban that's supposed to remain in place until July at least. But obviously in recent days we've heard a lot of speculation from within government that, if the numbers continue to fall, if the weather continues to improve, and if the pressure on the hospital system is eased significantly from where we were at the peak in January, then, there is scope, or there should be scope, to allow that ban on intercounty travel be lifted that little bit earlier. So you could see a chiming of that, decision to allow hospitality in terms of hotels and B&Bs kick in June, chiming with that sort of a move forward, a moving forward of that deadline on the ban. I also get the strong impression that, speaking to an awful lot of ministers in recent days, there is a kind of a desire to allow outdoor dining happen sooner rather than later. I think a lot of the businesses, both in major cities, are saying, listen, we can do this safely, etc. like that. So I do think there is a willingness to allow, to even explore that. But obviously it is all contingent on NIAC NPHET, HSE recommendations and all the rest of it, mm-hmm. and that we don't become subsumed by any sort of a fourth wave. So
it's heavy caveated, but the
direction of travel is pretty clear.
So just you mentioned NIAC there, and they're meeting, aren't they, to consider what happens now with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and also with the delay between doses. Is there political pressure on NIAC to come up with a decision today?
Oh, I think so. And I think as well, I think that given, I suppose, the determinations by the international medicines agencies, the blood clotting is a very rare issue. It's in a very, very small number of cases. I think the politicians here would be looking for a favourable outcome, because I think it was Leo Varadkar at his own parliamentary party meeting saying, that 82% target of getting, a first jab into adults by the end of June really only is possible if the Johnson & Johnson, and if that there's a favourable decision today. If there's not, then that we could be, that could really cause an awful lot of difficulty. And there's already doubt over the capacity of the system to deliver on that 82% target. And the Taoiseach, I think for the first time yesterday did say that there are challenges and difficulties in meeting that target, though while insisting the target remains there. But so I do think there is pressure on NIAC, but I mean that they've all the way along up to this point, they've taken a very, very cautious approach. And we saw the very strict restrictions they put on the AstraZeneca one. So I think there would be a fear in government that they would, do something similar there with the Johnson & Johnson, because, that dreaded phrase game changer has been used in relation mm-hmm. to that one, given it's the single dose. So I suppose we wait with bated breath to see what their outcome of that meeting is.
We certainly do. Daniel, thank you very much for joining us. Daniel McConnell there with the Irish Examiner. And I'm joined on the line now by Minister of State for European Affairs, Thomas Byrne. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you for joining us. So I'm interested to see where you stand on this, because Minister Simon Coveney said there's good news on the horizon about allowing non-essential travel. Then the Transport Minister this morning, Eamon Ryan on Morning Ireland, was cautioning against giving false hope. Can you reconcile those positions and give us a sense of where we're headed here?
Yeah, Minister Coveney yesterday also stated that it was currently illegal to travel abroad unless it's an essential reason. So, I don't think there's any difference there. I think what's happening, and you've outlined it already, is at European level, this digital green certificate is being rushed through the legislature there in the European Parliament and the Council of Ministers. And it is hoped in June that they would begin to be issued. And they're not just needed, by the way, for discretionary travel. I mean, they're needed for essential travel at the moment. In fact, even for mandatory hotel quarantine, where proof of vaccination will, get you through that or past that, these digital green certificates would help in standardising that. So they have a lot of other uses, even for lorry drivers in terms of testing, etc. There's a huge standardisation needed, even without non-essential travel or discretionary travel.
And you're working on these green certs on Ireland's behalf at EU level, is that right?
Well, it comes before the General Affairs Council. It is led by the Department of Health here, but it comes before the General Affairs Council, yes, and I sit in that council, yes.
So but there is, what's that? What will they look like? Is it a piece of paper or is it a digital thing?
Paper or digital, and basically will cover, there'll be three certificates on it, a vaccination certificate, a test certificate, and a certificate of recovery. Now, it'll be, I suppose, relatively easy to put a vaccination cert on it, relatively easy to get a test certificate into it. But in terms of a recovery certificate, there is technical work to be done on that. For example, yourself, Claire, you had famously had COVID a year ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to get one of these, so there's a lot of work going on.
I have no idea how I would get a piece of paper, though, to prove that,
Well, you will. Well, you will, because that's what will be required under European law. And what's happening at the moment,
how would you go about getting that, though?
Well, that's what's being worked on. So at a technical level, the European Commission now is working on this to make sure this is technically ready, and is supporting member states who are working on it to make sure it's technically ready as well.
And then the other thing is, we don't know how long, do we, immunity lasts for?
Well, exactly. So these are all issues, but this is what will be required. But
why is it relevant then, whether you've recovered from COVID or not, when we don't know how long you're immune for?
Well, what this would be on the certificate, it would be up to then each member state as to what their requirements are for you to enter their country. So many countries probably won't even require vaccination. They will more than likely require a negative test. Like some of the Mediterranean countries are very eager to get their tourism season back up and running, and I can't blame them because it's critically important to their economy.
And what will we require for people coming in here?
Well, at the moment, I think the requirements are well known. There's, home quarantine and then mandatory hotel quarantine. So they're there. That legislation needs to be renewed in June. And I suppose government would take a decision on that. And, I'm not here to, government will make a decision as to what these would be used for here. But the bottom line is that legally, the Irish state would be required to issue these to citizens within 6 weeks, I would say, of whenever this is actually implemented.
So we could be looking at a situation where we can go on holidays to countries where their rules are more lax than they are here, and yet we have very strict rules for entry into Ireland.
Yeah, and again, I'm not going to speculate as to what the rules would be for us. I mean, at the moment, it's not allowed to go on holidays. It's also not allowed to come into the country except, you know, with the mandatory hotel quarantine, mandatory home quarantine. So it's not for me to speculate as to what those rules would be. And I certainly wouldn't be urging people to make bookings for holidays where they can't get a refund if things or circumstances changed. But there's quite a few people out there, I suspect, who, for example, booked campsites or booked hotels last year and maybe have vouchers this year that maybe perhaps they'll be under pressure to use. And they're certainly waiting to see. But I wouldn't advise expending any money at this particular moment in time because the situation is too uncertain. Okay. However,
so you wouldn't hazard a booking for August then?
Well, no is the answer, because we can't give, at this stage, we just can't do that. We can't do that. I think it would be wrong of a government minister to advise that. However, the vaccinations are going up, numbers are going down, and in those circumstances then you can see where foreign travel comes back into the picture. And I think the priority for government is going to be home travel. The Taoiseach has already indicated that in terms of bed and breakfast, hotels, outdoor dining, etc. That's obviously a key priority for us. The aviation sector, of course, as well, is hugely important to the economy. I know that more than most in the Mid East. And we want to make sure those people are back in jobs as well. Yeah, but we need to take this step by step. And one of the things that has frustrated people in the pandemic is ministers, you know, speculating about these things. I've tried to give you facts as to what exactly is happening with the digital green certificate. Mm. It will be there.
There's a fair amount of speculation around today now, and it's all coming from ministers. It really is.
Well,
starting with Simon Coveney.
Yeah, he answered questions and he gave the exact factual position. I've given you the exact factual position with digital green certificates. Mm. They are there, and it is clear that particularly Mediterranean countries want to open up their economies to tourism because it's so important to them.
And do we?
What is the government's
position on opening Ireland up to international tourism?
Well, I think the government has set out what it's going to do. There's going to be a meeting of the government next week. I'm not sure that international tourism is going to get on that agenda, because clearly we've a domestic situation to get back up and running in terms of domestic services, domestic retail, domestic tourism first. But undoubtedly, I mean, you know, government, the freedom of movement at the moment is not something that can be awarded by government. It's a right of the people. It's restricted at the moment for public health reasons. I think almost everyone accepts that. But those restrictions can never be forever, and including mandatory hotel quarantine.
And do you think we could be looking then at dismantling mandatory hotel quarantine for most arrivals by the time we get to the end of the summer?
No, I can't speculate on that, but I do know that mandatory hotel quarantine is such an imposition on people that it is temporary legislation and needs to be renewed. And, you know, we had some of the TDs who were most vocal in favour of mandatory hotel quarantine are now all on about the airline industry and opening up tourism, etc. So these things change very, very quickly. And I suppose what we have to do is make sure that whatever decisions are taken in the best interest of public health and of the economy. And I think the government is, I think, determined to do that in stages and be very, very careful about it, which I think is the way that makes sure that whatever decisions are taken, that they are then permanent decisions and we don't have to go back on them because of rising numbers.
Given what you've said, that, you know, different member states will likely have different rules. Carolyn Lillington is writing about this in the Irish Times, and she says states and countries might end up with an incoherent mishmash of passports and certificates with varying levels of security. That's pretty much what you see coming too.
No. I mean, a passport is perfectly secure, and these digital certificates will be interoperable across the European Union, so they'll be absolutely secure. We'll have information that will be readable by the Irish authorities and by the Spanish or the French or the Finnish, whatever it is. So these will be interoperable and will be to a standard. So it won't be a mishmash.
Well, you've just said, though, that some countries might just require a negative PCR test recovery certificate.
And that'll be on your green digital certificate. So all of that will be there, and whatever is the requirement, which is similar at the moment. I mean, different countries have had different requirements outside the European Union, for example, as to what you need to travel. So I suppose the key thing would be to know what is required if that arises. And I'm not going to speculate on that, but the information will be on this document. And the European Commission has been very, very clear, and we're clear as well. I mean, these rights are fundamental rights. I don't talk about it in terms of the government awarding freedoms. The government has restricted freedoms necessarily because of the public health situation. But, you know, these are things that we're, in general, are free to do and will be free to do when the health situation allows.
So is all of this dependent, any changes in our travel regime, dependent on us hitting this 80% of our population being vaccinated? Will that affect this?
Look, we want to get as much vaccination as possible, but it's not for me to speculate on that. There will be decisions to be taken by the government, the Taoiseach, the Department of Health and government parties. So I don't speculate on that, but I have to say...
But the plans you're working on, are they dependent on that figure being reached?
The digital green certs will be there anyway. So it will be within people's rights when this is implemented. The European Union hopes to finish in June. By mid-July, it should be in force here. You will be entitled to ask for that from the state. And then what you do at the end of
so
the
I mightn't be month. Vaccinated, but I'll have my cert. If I get a PCR test and maybe I've recovered from COVID, there are some countries that will let me in.
And at the moment, the advice and the law here is that you can't do that. So I'm not going to speculate as to what our position will be at that time. But yes,
that's very messy, isn't it?
The whole thing is messy. I mean, we're in a global pandemic, and I suppose what the European Union is trying to do is trying to ensure that the fundamental right of free movement there is facilitated as best we can within the pandemic. It's restricted heavily across the entire European Union at the moment, and that needs to be opened up at some point. But we've got to put the public health first, and I think that's what every government is determined to do.
Minister, thanks for joining us. Minister Thomas Byrne, let's take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.